Welcome once again, my friends, to the Global Gael podcast, the podcast for the 70 million Irish people or people of Irish heritage around the world. And as you all will be doing this week, we are celebrating International Women's Day. And what does that mean? For once, it means I'm going to shut up. Today, I'm going to be handing over the podcast to my good friend, Molly Breen. Molly is the business development manager here who works on the podcast with us. Fantastically talented young woman who just moved to Stockholm. And she's been brilliant in terms of suggestions, not least for getting more women onto the podcast. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to you, Molly, and take it away for International Women's Day.
Deadly. Thanks, Phil. Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Hi, Molly. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Where are you joining us from?
I'm from Dublin.
So, and are you in Malahide? Or are you?
I'm in Malahide today.
Deadly.
So, and you're in Stockholm living the dream.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's a bit of a cold dream now, but I miss Malahide on days like this. So, Lauren, the reason I wanted you on the podcast was Phil a while ago was kind of, he really wanted more women on the podcast, and especially with International Women's Day coming up, he was saying, do you know anyone? You know, and we were brainstorming. And so your name kind of popped into my head because during COVID, you were kind of the one bit of good news that I had, you know, with the pandemic and, you know, the hospital overcrowding and everything. You were doing well with your musical Big Shot over in New York City. So you were living the dream, and it was nice to see that good bit of news that a girl from Malahide was doing well for herself. And so that's why I thought of you and I reached out to you. So I'm delighted you could join us today.
Thank you so much. And thanks for taking on me. Jeez. I'm
honored. No worries at all. So I'm just going to start off really by asking, how did you know you wanted to pursue this kind of career, this career in the arts?
How did I know? I feel like everyone says it. Like, I think you're kind of born with it, really. Like, you start as a kid and you're like walking around writing jingles that are terrible and singing nonstop. I know my cousin said that, like, so my dad used to put on Annie the whole time, like Grease, Annie Oliver, like all those kind of old school musicals, and put them on during the weekend on the videos. You're probably too young to even know. But we used to watch it on the videotapes, and my cousin said, like, I wasn't even able to form a sentence, but like they'd walk me around in the buggy and I'd just go, tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. And they said I would wreck their heads. I was just, they were like, people would come up and be like, she's singing. And they were like, she can't even talk, but she sings these two lines. It's the only two lines she knows. So probably since then.
Yeah. And then how did you start out? Did your parents put you into musical theatre classes, or how did you kind of?
I did like dance classes. Yeah, I did. I did every dance class. I did ballet for years. I was terrible. I did Irish dancing for years. I was terrible. They used to just say to my mom, she has a great ear. Like, she's a really good ear for music. I think they're trying to tell her, like, put her in something else. So then I started like playing piano and singing, but I was never really good at piano. Like, my brother was always better than me at piano. Like, I would always, when you went to practice those like exam pieces, I was just write songs the whole time, and I'd be like sitting on the piano making up all these songs. Look at this song I made up. They're like, what about your exam? And I'm like, oh yeah, the exam. So yeah, and then I was doing singing, and I loved singing. Was just my favorite because I love singing. But then in saying that, today I didn't end up, like, I didn't want to be a singer. Like, I never wanted to be, okay, I want to be a singer, I want to go on a world tour as a singer. I loved kind of, when I went to college, I was like, I think I prefer to be in the background. And then when I started writing, I was like, oh, this is what I really want to do. And then I started musically directing. And like, I just thought it was so fun having like a cast in front of you, teaching them all these harmonies to songs from great writers and putting on a show. Like, there's nothing like putting on a live show, nothing like putting on a live show. It's wild. But yeah, when I started really, like, I started writing all through school. I was in a band and stuff in school and always writing songs. But then in college is when I kind of was like, oh, I want to write musicals. Like, I kind of had an idea I wanted to write a musical from like 15. But then I didn't, like, I would write music, but I didn't have a story. And then in college, the story popped into my head. And then I was like, okay, I want to be a musical theater writer. Like, who doesn't? Like, there's no
was
one.
Then, was that then Big Shot? Was that
Big Shot.
Okay, so you had it in your head since you were 15.
So, well, I had like I wanted to write musicals when I was 15, but then when I was like, I think it was about 19 or 20 when Big Shot started, really, when I started playing like the song "Sorry, My Piano's Here." So I always just do this, even though like I'm clearly not playing it. But yeah, I was kind of playing the songs from the show, and then the story came, and then obviously it was a long road to get to where it got to. Like it took a long time.
That was going to be my next question about how did you actually get it on Broadway? Like, could I rock up tomorrow if I was in New York and say, hey, I have this idea? Or I presume there's a lot of hoops you have to jump through to actually get it on stage. So could you
It ended
tell
up,
me
so my goal, right, so it didn't end up on Broadway, right, but I'm hoping someday, I hope my next show, my dream is to go on Broadway. It ended up off Broadway, which is down the road, but
okay, because I knew you were in New York. You are,
it's still off, it's off Broadway,
it's
which
still amazing. Yeah.
musical theater nerds will know. If I said I did on Broadway, I'd be killed by musical theater nerds. They'd be like, it was off Broadway, but yeah, it was off Broadway, but basically it's very similar. Like most people would not really know the difference between on Broadway and off Broadway. It's not, well, it is a huge difference. Money is the difference. But
Okay.
off Broadway, my goal for Big Show was like, I was just so delusional. Like, Molly, it's so hard to get a show up and running. And for some reason in my head, I was like, oh, I'm just gonna get this off Broadway. Like, I don't know why. I just thought I would. So I just really, I first started out, I begged DCU, could I do the show there to try it out? And then we did it in DCU. They were so kind there, DCU Drama, all the societies there, and the head of DCU, and the now head of DCU, who was the head of PASS at the time. So I did a show there. Then I did it in, there was, it's like a small, it's like a 200, maybe 250 seater there, and it sold out, and there was those people standing at the back, and I was like, oh, maybe this is actually okay, like, because people were clapping and stuff, and I was like, maybe this is actually kind of good. So then I was like, I'll put it on in PASS as part of my thesis, right? So I asked the head of PASS, could I put it on in the hall there, and that was a 500 seater, so we're like, we're transferring to PASS. Like they say on Broadway, like you transfer from off Broadway to on Broadway, like it's a big deal. So we're like, we're transferring from one campus to the other,
Everyone has to start somewhere, Lauren.
thinking we were great. Like, but anyways, that sold out as well. And then I was like, oh, maybe I could do this. So then after college, it's like, okay, how do I put it on outside college? But that was hard because, like, in college, like you have a theater. Well, I got so lucky, they gave me the theater for free. And they gave me, like, I only had to pay for like sound. Like, I think the lights, they were like, we'll do it. Like, it was really nice. Like, I got everything free. So then I had to learn how to produce by accident. Like, I didn't ever want to be a producer, but I kind of fell into that. And my friend Grania helped massively, but put it on in Dublin and that sold out. So then I was like, oh, and then randomly ended up applying for this thing in San Diego and got it. So we all went to San Diego and put it on there. There's a lot of stories I could tell about that, but we'd be here all day. But I ended up putting it on in San Diego, and then they offered us to do it in Mexico. So
Oh,
then,
wow.
yeah, so they were like, we absolutely love the show, you're all great crack, and like it's doing really well, do you want to go do it in Mexico? And then I was like, cool, let's do it in Mexico. So we did a show in Mexico as well, which was great. And then after that, we did, sorry, I'm probably, this is a long story, but
No, that's what we're here for. That's what our listeners want.
yeah, Mexico was a disaster. Look, it was, sorry, it wasn't a disaster. Mexico was actually amazing. But one of my leads in the show slept in and I couldn't wake him up in San Diego. So we had to go from San Diego to Mexico. Imagine us, like, we're carrying all the instruments on the train from San Diego to Mexico. And I couldn't wake up my lead, one of my leads. And I was like throwing water over him. It's like, get up, like we're doing a show. We have a tech. So like the tech is like when you run, when you go in and you practice with the mics and the lights. And this is like a concert version in Mexico. So on the way, they were like, Lauren, you'd never leave someone out. Like you wouldn't leave it. I'm like, well, we're gonna miss the tech. So, and
Yeah.
like no wife, like we had Wi-Fi, but you'd know, like you couldn't buy eSIMs then, I don't think. So like we'd no way to contact each other. Once we were gone, we were gone. So I left him in San Diego, but he wouldn't wake up. So I had to sing his part, which was mad because I was like, I'm the writer of the show, and this is written for like an evil, low male voice, but I'm just gonna
Yeah.
sing it. And I didn't realize like the CEO of the whole festival was like in the back corner filming it. And I didn't know. And I was like, oh no, he's gonna be annoyed. Don't like the lead. But he loved it. And then he messaged me and he was like, could you close like the ceremony in San Diego for the whole festival with that version. And I was like, oh, your man's gonna be so angry because like he wants to be a singer. Like I don't like
Of course, yeah.
I was like, I dedicate this to a man who likes to sleep in the last ceremony. But yeah, sorry, that's a random Mexico story. But yeah, then we went back, finished San Diego, then came back here, did another show here. It went great. And then did London. Sorry, this is obviously over a space of a few years. Did London, didn't get any funding for London, had to self-fund it. I was mad. Then after London, I was like, I need to take a break from this. Like it was my whole life for so long. And then my friend Grania, she's a producer, she's amazing. She met me like it was like a year after, and she's like, I think you need to do Big Shot one more time. Like she's like, I think you didn't give it the full run. So I think let's just do it one more time. And I was like, okay. And then she's like, I think we should invite this producer, and he won a Tony. Like, and the Tonys are huge. Yeah, they're like the Oscars of musical theater. Yeah. And he won Tony for best production, and he's a producer. So she's like, let's invite him over. So we called his office, and obviously they said no. But then I was like, can we send you the songs anyways? So we sent him the songs, and they were like, okay, we'll come over. So we came over to Dublin. I had no cast, I had no theater, I had nothing. I just told him to come over and see the show. So really quickly got loads of the old cast back, got some new cast, got the theater, got the Helix, and in the Helix probably is in DC. It was a lovely theater. And then yeah, and then he came over and he saw it, and then he loved it. And then 54 Below, which is a really cool venue. It used to be Studio 54, where like Diana Ross and everyone used to go, but then it turned into like Broadway's living room. So like loads of Broadway stars go there, and loads of original shows go there, and yeah, loads of concerts there. Randomly, we applied to go there, and they said yeah, so we got there. But then within a week, Ken, who was a producer, Ken Davenport, called me. He's back in New York, and he said, "Do you want to do Off Broadway?" And it just so happened to be the same dates that I got offered to do the 54 Below, which was going to be like songs, like just a show of my songs. So then we also got offered to do the actual Big Shot there as well in the same time. So it was just so lucky, like really, really lucky.
So I guess it's maybe
On time.
contacts you make, networking, the importance of networking, maybe.
Networking.
People, yeah.
Dancing your arm, find a lovely team. I had the best team in the world, a team of girls. Oh, there was boys as well, of course, but all of the production team were women, four women, four of my best friends, Jade, Orla, Grania, and me. And we had to basically try produce the show from Ireland there and then bring everyone over and put it on. And it was crazy. It was just so crazy.
I think maybe you had the drive to do it, so that kind of made up maybe for the lack of preparation for getting
Oh, 100%.
it
We were all very motivated, which I think helped, but you learn a lot. Like, I learned a lot. I had a call with the guy that runs shows off Broadway a lot over there, and he's Irish as well.
over.
Michael's his name, a few weeks ago. And he was just like, can I just ask you, like, how the hell did you produce a show from Dublin in New York without being there? And I was like, you don't want to know. It's like, I actually can't tell you because some of the stuff was illegal. But we did it, and it went really well, and it was magical. And I still it can't believe it actually happened. Like, I still am like, how did that happen?
Yeah, it was worth it in the end for sure.
It was worth it in the end. It totally was.
Yeah. So, Lauren, you're also a vocal coach, and of course, then you write songs as well. And I know you're working with a lot of kind of younger female up and coming stars. And so, in light of International Women's Day tomorrow, I wanted to know what kind of advice would you give to any young woman thinking of going into the showbiz world, going into music? What would be, do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, so I have been really blessed to write with amazing Irish female artists. I should name them. Valerie Rose, Sophie Dove Ryder, Georgia Gaffney, and Liliana. There's loads more. Rachel Walsh has loads of anyways, they're all amazing. But my advice would be great things take time and you have to persevere. It's really weird because when I started doing this, I was like, I really want to. I'd finished Big Shot, I'd written my music, and I was like, I really, really want to write pop songs, but I really want to help Irish women become successful in music because I can name five off the top of my head, five successful male artists like that are successful globally. Like I can name five off the top of my head, and there's many more, but there really aren't that many women. Like, and it's a bit like there's so much talent, so it's a little bit shocking how there isn't. So I think things are changing now. I really do, and there is so much talent in Ireland, so much talent. But my advice would be great things take time, and you have to just keep going. Like everything now, like I had a meeting with the record label even only a few weeks ago, and they were like, not for me, but for an artist that I work with, and they were like, okay, well, you need a minimum of 20K TikTok followers. Like, and this is the kind of stuff they throw at you as not just a woman, as a man in music as well. Like they throw, like, you need these stats, and everything's kind of turning into stats. But what I would say is just like take your time and make the art good. Like write what you want to write about. Don't write because you like, I think this is going to be so trendy on TikTok, because more than likely it won't be, and it'll be the thing that you are honest about and you're writing from your heart will be, because people will relate to that. People relate to what you know and what you do, because you'd be surprised how many people have gone through what you've gone through or something similar. They can relate to your lyrics that they've gone through. So I'd be like, don't compromise, maybe is my word. Don't compromise on your art. And take your time with it. Don't rush into, I mean, some people now they're like, I just want a single out. I want to get one song out. But like I always say now, you're better off having like a catalog, because you might not know your sound after writing one song. You're like, okay, I'm ready to record and release it. But that might not necessarily be your sound. Like you need to take your time and realize, oh, maybe I sound like this, or maybe this is my style of writing. So take your time and don't compromise for social media. Social media obviously does help so much, and like the magic of social media, and it's broken so many artists in the best way. But yeah, write what you love and write what you believe in, not just trends, what you think will trend.
Of course, of course. So you mentioned who you're working with.
I hope that's some advice, but there's so much advice that I could try.
Of course, no. I just wanted to ask you about working with your younger sister Georgia, who I went to school with, because I know I have an older sister and I could never imagine working with her professionally. I love her to bits, but certainly they say, you know, don't mix family and business. How is that? Because she's making a great name for herself. She was at EP and, you know, she's doing well for herself. And I know tomorrow I saw her and Sophie Dole Ryder are in Whelan's for International Women's Day tomorrow. So little promo there for you. Oh. If any of
International
our
Women's
listeners
Day.
are in Dublin, they can go watch.
Everyone's on holidays in Dublin.
How is it working with her though? Is it?
This is such a funny question. It's funny, like so I was managing Georgia. I kind of still am a little bit, but we said managing is like so hard. Like me and Ronnie are managing Georgia together, and it is like, you advise people on what to do and they mightn't agree with it, and then you kind of clash in terms of what direction you think people should go. And then at the same time, like, she's my sister, like I have to let her learn. There's an age gap between us, and like I let her learn herself. So we've kind of decided it's really fun. Okay, one, it's really fun. But two, we do argue a bit. Like, again, we wouldn't be people to argue, to be honest. Like we're not really argumentative. Like we're kind of just like, let's just go along, not go along with it, but let's just say nothing and rise above it, like kind of people. But what we do now is she at Electric Picnic, she was like, I want you to be in my band randomly. And I was like, really? Like, because we were like, okay, I'm not going to manage as much. And she's like, no, I really want you to try it. So I was in her band playing keyboard and singing, because I write like a lot of the songs with Georgia. Sorry, this is my little dog. She's also a girl dog.
Oh, does she want to say hello?
Here for International Women's Day. Yeah, so I write with Georgia now a lot as well. And it's really fun, like being on stage where I was like, okay, I'll just do an Electric Picnic. But then all of her friends were like, Lauren, you have to be in the band. Georgia's like, I want you in the band. It's so fun having you in the band. And I was like, okay, let's be in the band together. So now I'm in her band. But it's really fun. Like yesterday, we were like sitting here and I was like, oh my God, I know what we should play for International Women's Day. and we're going to do Man, I Feel Like a Woman, like Shania Twain. And I have like a little melodica that I'm going to play with it. And like, it is really fun. And writing together is really fun because we can be completely honest. We can go, I'll go, no, that's not good. And she'd be like, no, that's not good. And then be like, oh, that's so good though. You know, you can be really honest when writing, and we know what we've been through ourselves and together. So we can write from experience. So that's good. But I won't lie, like obviously it is, like you said, you have an older sister, so you know. Sometimes you clash on things. But tomorrow night will be great fun. And Sophie as well. Like, Sophie's a phenomenal artist and amazing performer, amazing singer, amazing songwriter. I write with her as well. I work with like so many amazing female artists. I'm so lucky. But tomorrow night will be amazing because yeah, it's gonna be International Women's Day gig. So just amazingly talented women. And I get to watch Sophie and I get to play with Georgia. So it's hilarious, but I have to practice. Georgia said, you need to practice the piano for tomorrow. So that's the kind of vibe it is.
Have your homework done for today after this call.
Like, you need to practice too.
So in general, of course, like obviously you have a lot of stage experience yourself, and from my limited stage experience, you know, the fourth year musical in Malahide Community School, and I wasn't even a main part. Actually, Georgia had one of the leads. But I just remember being so nervous, like running in and out of the loo. Couldn't I don't know how, like, respect I have for everybody who does it, just because I maybe I appear I'm quite a chatterbox, but when it comes to being on stage, I just totally shut down. And so I'm just wondering, what advice would you give to women, to anybody in general, for like coping with nerves, and you know, how to, you know, you maintain a very confident composure. So how do you do that? Like, is there any techniques you have maybe before you go on stage? Meditation? How do you deal with your nerves naturally? Or are you nervous? You get nervous.
No, like I definitely don't meditate. I wish I did, but definitely not before a gig because I think my head would be like, ah. No, the most recent thing that I did that I was really nervous for wasn't even on stage. I was workshopping. I'm writing a new musical. And I was workshopping it with a bunch of amazing performers. I got so lucky. I just put it on Instagram. I was like, anybody want to do this workshop? And I had so many people apply. And then, like, I just remember the week before, I was like, oh no, like what if it's really bad? Like, what if it's absolutely terrible? Like, what if everybody here is like, why did I sign up for this? And you feel so sick, you feel so nervous. But when just I feel like once you start it, it's fine. So I think it's getting over the initial hump. So I think if someone's nervous, they have stage fright, just go and just do it. Like, as in, if you can do a local open mic, start with that, see how you get on with that. Like, it is going to be scary. Like, you're probably going to feel like you might need to go loo. Exactly what you said. Go loo as much as you can before you go on, and just drink. I always say to everyone, drink loads of water. I feel like water is like such a good healer. I'm like, drink loads of water, take deep breaths, and just expose yourself to it. So just do as many gigs as you can, even if it's like an open mic where you don't know anybody. Just get up and do it, and then if you get offered a gig, just say yes. Even if you're nervous, just say yes and don't think about it. Just do it. Just don't think about what could be the worst case scenario, because I'm telling you, the worst case scenario probably isn't that bad. Like, the worst case scenario, you forget a few lines and people won't notice because people might not know your song if you're just starting out. And if they do not know your song, they're like, oh, she's human. They're human. It happens. It even happened at Niall Horan like a few weeks ago. He was like, whoops, started in the wrong key and then started again. Like, you know, even the most professional, amazing Irish artists do it. So just expose yourself to it and throw yourself out. I think you'd be good on stage, Molly. I can see you have the confidence. You're good at speaking. You'd be good on stage. Do you want to be cast in a new show? No, I'm joking.
I'm good. Thank you, Lauren. I appreciate the compliment. What is it exactly? You were telling me that you're working on a production of Grease. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I'm just basically directing like a local production of Grease here at the moment, and I just did Sister Act. I did another Grease, so I'm kind of lucky. I've been musically directing since I've been back, but yeah, it's really nice. I love musically directing. I love directing. I directed Sister Act as well. Directing, musically directing are so different because with the musical directing, you're just in charge of the vocals and you're in charge of conducting the band, and like that's your job. You just make sure they sound good. Sound good. But direction is like, make sure they understand the part, make sure they are walking at the right pace, they're speaking at the right pace, make sure the whole show looks good and sounds good because they have to be able to speak their lines well. But yeah, I tend to direct and musically direct together, but sometimes I just do one or the other, which is easier, obviously, because you're not like doing the whole thing. So yeah, it's nice. It's nice. And then hopefully doing a production, well, a first concert of my new musical in June, hopefully. And then I'm in London for July, just trying to workshop the show there as well. So it's just doing very random bits. And then obviously songwriting with loads of Madagascar as well. Yeah. Well, Grease is hilarious. I love Teen Angel. I don't know if you know Grease, but I love Beauty School Dropout. It's a song
Yeah,
I've never gotten sick of for some reason. I actually don't get sick of the Grease score. Like I've definitely gotten sick of musical scores that I musically directed before. Like Adam's Family used to go to my head. I love Adam's Family, the musical, but the score would just not leave. Sister Act, the score would just not leave. But Grease, it's just a great show. Like it's not, I mean, the message is terrible for women. Like, girls, don't follow Sandy, please, for the Women's Day. Do not do what Sandy did, but
Oh,
something
no.
about
But enjoy the musical.
enjoy the music.
Basically, don't take
Don't
people's
enjoy
lines so literally.
the message. Someone should rewrite that, readapt it, and
Yeah,
like make it more women friendly.
maybe you should, Lauren. Maybe that's a future project that you can do. I wanted to ask you because obviously the Global Gael podcast, it's for Irish people abroad, and there's a lot of Irish people in London and in America, of course. Where did you prefer working? Do you prefer working in one over the other, or do you find
Yeah, I do. I don't know what to say. No, I should. Well, I think I was doing very different shows at very different times. So, like, it was the same show, but they were different environments and different experience. So, the theater that we were in London was very different to the theater in New York. Like, theater in New York was a like a real theater. It was, do you know Tick Tick Boom? I don't know if you know that. Tick Tick Boom.
yeah, I'm
You
not
should
familiar
watch
with
it.
it.
Yeah, on Netflix. There's a movie on Netflix, Jonathan Larson's. It was Jonathan Larson's show he wrote before Rent. But it was in that theater that they had on that movie because those people kept sending me pictures and being like, is this where Big Shot was? Or like people from the cast were like, oh my God, Big Shot was in this theater. It was an amazing theater, and I loved it. The theater in London, it wasn't really like a proper musical theater, so it was harder. So it's hard to kind of say that I preferred, I personally preferred New York, but I think it's also just because it's New York. Like I just love New York. Obviously, some people hate it, but I absolutely love it there. Like I just feel like every corner you turn around, you're gonna see something different. It's a show within a show within a show. Like, and obviously Broadway's there. But I will say that like I was in London a few weeks ago, and I think the standard in West End has gone up so much. Like I feel like it used to be Broadway and then West End wouldn't be as strong as Broadway, but I feel like so many people now are like dedicating their lives to theater, and like of so many students even that have gone over and even graduated now from musical theater college, and they give their whole lives to musical theater. And I feel like London has just come up so much in terms of shows. Like I think the shows are actually nearly as strong as the shows on Broadway.
Oh,
Actually,
okay.
Hades Town. I went to see Hades Town in New York, and I went to see it in London, and I actually thought the London show was better. But also, maybe I'm prejudiced because the lead is an Irish guy, which I, yeah, and he keeps his Irish accent. Donal Finn's his name. He's amazing.
Can you tell us what exactly you'll be doing in London? Are you at liberty to say, or is it top secret? So you're working on her.
Is that really top secret? I'm not that cool. Maybe it is. I don't know. Well, I'm working on a new musical, and I'm writing with a few artists over there, which I'm lucky to do. But yeah, I'm writing a new show and hopefully workshopping it over there with the cast. But I love casting Irish people because I just feel like, God, obviously I love casting everyone from everywhere, but there's just so it's so nice to have like a few Irish people in the cast that because there's so much talent here. Like there's just so much talent in Ireland, and I have a few Irish people over there that want to be in it. And the same with New York. Like I the guy I was talking to, hopefully, I'm not really going to say, but hopefully we'll be eventually doing the show in New York at some stage in the next.
Put it out into the universe and it'll happen.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully doing a production in New York in the next few years. And he was saying that the Irish community over there is amazing. There's so much Irish chant over there as well. So get some Irish people involved in that too. So yeah, just working on the show and writing, basically writing. And then Big Shot hopefully is taking a new form in the next few years. I can't say yet, but have to work on that as well.
Cool. So you have a lot of balls to juggle, maybe, with all the different.
Trying to juggle and being George's band.
I want to ask, I know myself, I despise when people ask me this question, but I'm going to ask you because I'm very curious, and you are very, very accomplished already in your career, but what's like the 5-year plan? So you kind of mentioned you have a few things already in the mix with reinventing Big Shot, and what do you have any like specific goal in mind for where you want to be or any dream you want to achieve in like next 5 to 10 years?
Molly, I have never been asked my 5-year plan. I've been asked what the plan for this show. Well,
that's the question I asked to every, if like my new boyfriend, I'll ask him what's his 5-year plan.
Well, yeah, you should know your new boyfriend. Yes. He doesn't fit into your plan. And if not, he has to make it fit in.
Yeah.
Next 5-year plan. Okay, so I think I should say maybe the goal, the dream.
Yes.
The dream would be to have a production of Jilted up and running. I would love to do a show in New York. I'd love to do a show in London. And of course, a show in Ireland. I just love to have, it's called Jilted, my new show, I think. I'd love to have Jilted up and running. I'd love to have it. I'd love to have Jilted in New York, in Dublin and London. That would be a big dream. And I'd love to write. I've had a few songs that I've written with artists that have been in the charts, and I'd love to get an Irish female artist that I write with a number one hit in Ireland. I would love that. I would love them to get number one. We've been number two and number three. Sophie's songs have been number two and number three over the past few years, but one goal is I'd love to get number one. One of my goals is actually I really want to get a show, a song on a TV show. It's called Sync. TV show or ad or movie, like it's one of my goals. But I actually just got an email last night confirming that one of the songs is going to be on a TV show. But I don't think I'm allowed to say what it is yet.
Congratulations!
So one of those happened. So I have to make that one a bigger one now. I'd love it to be on a Netflix show or something. I need to make that go bigger. But yeah, dream would be to get to travel and work abroad with the show and to work on shows and just to be able to write more music and write great music with great, amazing artists. It's not very specific. Maybe it is. It's kind of specific.
It's specific. I think, again, once you put it into the universe, you know.
And then manifest.
Yes, and your drive and determination, I'm sure it will happen. Thank you so much, Lauren, for joining us today. It was
Molly, thank you so much. You're an amazing interviewer.
So, Molly, what was it like, your first time hosting the Global Gale podcast, or any podcast for that matter, and on International Women's Day as well?
It was a bit nerve-wracking, to be honest, because I've never done anything like it. But it was fun, all the same, and it was great to talk to Lauren and to hear about her life and her experiences and her advice for young women as well, which, of course, in light of tomorrow is very important. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it, actually. I feel I might be after your job after all.
Look, I think you were actually sitting in my seat doing the interview, so you've kind of taken over now, you know?
I did, yeah.
Is it the kind of thing that you've only recently moved to Sweden, and I think some people will know from LinkedIn and that kind of thing that you've been working with me for a little while now. Is that the kind of thing you expected to be doing when you moved over here?
Definitely not. No. But Sweden has been full of surprises for me, for sure. But in good ways, in positive ways. So yeah, no, it wasn't what I expected, but nonetheless was great. Great crack altogether.
Fantastic. I think you did an absolutely brilliant job. I think Lauren said it as well. You're an absolute natural. And this is great now, because I could just leave you to mind the house the whole time. You could do all the podcasts, everything. I could just sit in the background and that kind of... Actually, I was going to say I could do what you do, but I couldn't do that either, because I'm literally only good for one thing on this podcast. Right, we shall leave it there for this episode of the Global Gael podcast. This is the podcast for the 70 million Irish people around the world. You can support it on patreon.com/arrowmaninstockholm. And on this International Women's Day, we're going to play out with Laura Gaffney and her sister, Georgia Gaffney, singing 3 a.m. at Le Feinstein's 54 Below in New York back in 2019, just to give you an idea of the talent of these great women and indeed of all great Irish women on this International Women's Day. Thanks for listening. Good luck.
Forget me like